Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, there is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We give you praise for what it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Okay, you can take your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So today we continue with our series, our ongoing series we are taking, God Wants the World. Hallelujah. God Wants the World. If you've been with us for a while, you know that this series began a while back. You know, it's a teaching on missions and evangelism. Praise the Lord. Missions and evangelism. The first part of this teaching was to explain missions from the Old Testament. Okay, and we used the family of Abraham to do so. We said that God raised the Jews to be his missionaries in the Old Testament. Okay, Yahweh had a plan in the Old Testament. That plan was to fill the earth with his worship. Praise the Lord. Okay, and with his glory. So he raised the Jews, Abraham and his family, okay, to carry out that task on the earth. Okay, then the second part of this teaching examined racism, okay, and how it hinders the gospel, racism and ethnocentrism, okay, whereby someone just feels that, okay, because someone is light-skinned or someone is dark-skinned, it should not be preached to, okay, and we used Israel as a case study in this regard. We said that with Israel, Israel allowed racism and ethnocentrism to stop her from preaching to the Gentiles. Okay, but you know, that was not Yahweh's plan. Yahweh raised Israel not above the nations, but for the nations. Okay, in part three of this teaching, we saw that since Israel has now failed, Jesus the Christ then comes as the true Israel of God. Okay, so he comes to fulfill and to succeed where Israel has failed. Okay, so he comes on the earth to fulfill God's missionary plan on the earth. Okay, and he doesn't stop with Jesus. Jesus transfers that same role to his church. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this fourth part is to examine how we as the church carry out this role, okay, as God's New Testament Israel. So we took our text from Galatians 6 verse 15 to 16, okay, which says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but the new creation." 16 says, "And as many as walk according to this rule, that rule of the new creation, in which neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." So Paul calls the church the Israel of God. Okay, and we said that Paul is fond in his writings of doing that, whereby he uses one word both literally and figuratively. Okay, we saw that with circumcision. He did that. Okay, then he uses that word Israel the same way. We said that in Christ, the church is now God's true Israel. Okay, what that means is not that we are literally Jews. That is, you know, we now take on that role of ethnic Israel. No, but we are truly Jews. Okay, that is, we are the Jews that God reckons with, the ones that he recognizes on the earth today. Okay, so we said that when God looks on the earth today and he looks around, he doesn't recognize anyone who claims to be Abraham's descendant but does not follow in Abraham's footsteps. We saw that in John chapter 8. Jesus says that to the Jews there in verse 39 of that same chapter. John 8 verse 39, it says, "If you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham." Okay, and we said, what did Abraham do? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Praise the Lord. Okay, so you are only Abraham's son, that is a true Jew in God's eyes, by faith. So simply being a descendant of Abraham physically, naturally, by DNA is not enough. Okay, and the Jews had that misconception, you know, throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. And John the Baptizer warned the Jews about that misconception that they had. Matthew 3, verse 9. Okay, it says to them there, do not think to yourselves that we have Abraham as our father. That is, don't boast in your lineage. You follow that? It is not enough, okay, to just be from Abraham physically. No. The only Jew that God recognizes and God reckons with is the one whose heart is circumcised. You see that in Romans 2, verse 28. We saw that last week. It says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart. You see that? In the spirit. It says, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now, circumcision in the heart is faith. Okay? And that is why the church is a new Israel of God. We have believed, that is clear. But ethnic Israel has refused to believe in Christ. Okay? And, you know, they even crucified him. And as long as they continue in their unbelief, they are rejected as God's people. So, in the New Testament, God therefore has a new people, his church. Okay, the Church of Christ, they are the true Israel of God, now made up of all nations of the world, not just the Jews. Praise the Lord. Okay, then we say that as the new Israel of God, we receive Abraham's blessing, which is righteousness by faith. Okay, and we said that Abraham's blessing also comes with Abraham's responsibility. Okay, righteousness is a blessing and a duty. Remember that? Okay, it's a blessing and a responsibility. You are made righteous to herald that righteousness. Okay, you are made righteous to proclaim that same righteousness that you have been blessed with, so that others can be blessed as well. Alright, and the Christian will do this through his life and his conduct, as well as his doctrine. Remember that? We said it's not enough to reveal the gospel, you know, in what you say. Your lifestyle must also do the same. So the Christian's life and his doctrine must reveal Christ and the gospel. We said that in witnessing, actions speak just as loud as words. Okay, not louder. So both are important. Do you get it? Both the actions and the words, okay, are important. So your preaching and your lifestyle, okay, because without your holy conduct, men will not see the Lord. Remember that? Hebrews 12 verse 14, okay, for sure with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Okay, those men are those you're pursuing peace with. They won't see the Lord in your life, okay, without your good conduct. So we kind of stopped there last week. So in this service, we just pick up quickly from where we left off in the last service. Now we've seen so far how that the church is now the Israel of God, right? By identification with Christ. So what that means is that we now enjoy the blessing as well as the responsibility of Abraham. So today we want to focus on the book of Acts, okay, to examine how the early church carried out this responsibility. Alright? So the church has a responsibility, right? Okay, that responsibility of Abraham to herald, proclaim the gospel. So in the book of Acts, you find out how the early church carried out that role, that task. Now let me say this quickly, that the book of Acts is a book of history, okay, and even that history is highly selective. So what that means is that the book of Acts does not give you a detailed account of every event that occurred in the early church. The book of Acts focuses majorly on the ministry of Peter and Paul, and the aim of that book was to validate Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. Okay, Luke wrote Acts to explain that even Gentiles are now allowed in the church without converting to Judaism first. And you see that the book of Acts is highly evangelistic. Alright, it is obvious when you read that book that Luke's focus was missions. Okay, you find that about 8 times Luke records how the word of God grew and spread mightily. Alright, let's run through now. Look at Acts 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Okay, this was on the day of Pentecost after Peter had gotten up to preach. It says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. You may underline that from about to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now look at this. And the Lord added to the church daily. You see that? And learn that, okay? From that to daily. That is a mission term. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You see that? Look at Acts 4 verse 32. Acts 4 verse 32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed, underline that, from that who believed. Okay, so that means they were very much, right? It says a multitude, okay, were of one heart and of one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things that he possessed was his own, but he had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Underline from gave to Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Look at Acts 5 verse 12. Acts chapter 5 verse 12, it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Underline that, among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Underline the entirety of verse 14. Okay, so that they brought the sick out into the street and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered, underline that, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 6 verse 7. Acts 6 verse 7, it says, then the word of God spread, underline that, from then to spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly, underline that, from that to greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many, underline that, a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Look at Acts 9 verse 31. Acts 9 verse 31, it says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. You see that? Online that, okay? They were multiplied. Look at Acts 12 verse 24. Acts 12 verse 24, it says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Underline that, grew and multiplied. Look at Acts 16 verse 5. Acts 16 verse 5, it says, so the churches were strengthened, underline that, strengthened in the faith, and increased in number daily. Underline that, increased in number daily. Acts 19 verse 20, it says, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Hallelujah. Acts 19 verse 20, you see that? So do you observe that Luke's Acts is focused on the spread of the gospel? You see that there? Okay, how that more men were added to the church via evangelism. Okay, so it focuses on the spread of the gospel, first of all to the Jews, okay, and then to the Gentiles. So that was Luke's major concern as he writes. Amen. So let's examine this very closely. Now, first of all, you see that in Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus there had given a mandate. Acts 1 verse 8. Acts 1 8, it says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Underline from you to Jerusalem. And in all Judea, underline that, all Judea, and Samaria, underline that, Samaria, and to the end of the earth, underline from two to earth. Okay, so this power that they were to receive would be for witnessing. We have said that the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of missions. Remember that? Okay, then we see this fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Let's see that, Acts 2:1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, underlined from day to spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so this is the power of the Spirit coming upon the disciples, just like Jesus promised. in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And look at the result of this. When the Spirit comes upon them, what happens? You see that Peter gets up to preach. Amen. Now it was this same Peter before who was scared, remember that? Who denied Jesus, who ran, right? Who eat from the Jews, but something had changed. Praise the Lord. Okay? The Spirit of Christ had come upon him. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of Jesus, the evangelist. Now you see that Peter gets up and he preaches from verse 14. But see the highlight of his sermon, that same chapter. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were caught to the heart, underline that, caught to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Underline that, the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Underline from receive to Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children, that is the Jews, and to all who are far off. Who are those? The Gentiles, thank you. Underline your children and all who are far off, okay? As many as the Lord our God will call. Then look at verse 41 of that chapter. It says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see that? Okay? So once the Spirit of Christ came upon his church, the first thing that we saw was souls saved. You see that? That was the first thing. Once the Spirit of Christ came, okay, we saw the first act of that Spirit was the salvation of men. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Christ the evangelist now begins his work through the church in Acts. You get it? It comes as a Spirit in the church, and he begins that work of the evangelist through his church in the book of Acts, filling everywhere with the Word of God. I remember that in Acts chapter 2, those who believed had come from different nations of the world. Right? You see that in verses 8 to 11 of that same chapter. Let's see that. Verse 8 says, and how is it that we hear, each in our own language, which were born, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, you see that? Those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. You see that? So these ones would go back to their various nations with a new message. Praise the Lord. You get it? They come to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. They hear the gospel. They are saved. Okay, then they go back to their nations. Amen. With that same message. Therefore, the gospel will spread even more. Okay? And we see that this is actually what happened. Those pilgrims from the day of Pentecost went back and established churches in their hometowns. Praise the Lord. You find the church at Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Let's see that quickly. Acts 9, 1, 2. Acts chapter 9, 1, 2. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way. Can we say in Damascus? Okay, underline that, okay? Any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So they were Christians, those of the way, in Damascus. You see that there? Verse 10 of that same chapter mentions the name of one of them. Look at verse 10. It says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Underline that, okay? From R to Ananias, okay? And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Praise the Lord. See that? Now, not only at Damascus, there were churches all through Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. Look at Acts 9, verse 31. Okay, Acts 9:31, it says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, you see that? A line from that to Samaria, okay, at peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Okay, not only that, they were saints at Lydda, Acts 9, verse 32. It says, now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. Underline that, okay? The saints who dwelt in Lydda, also at Joppa, verse 36, Acts 9. It says, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. Underline that, okay? From Ad to Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Okay, there were also disciples in Tyre. And Tyre is a Gentile nation. Look at Acts 21, 3. It says, when we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre. On the line that landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload our cargo and finding disciples. On the line that finding disciples at Tyre, right? Okay, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. You see that there? So these guys were so sound that they understood the leading of the Spirit. You see that there? Okay, also at Ptolemais, verse 7, Acts 21. It says, and when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, underline that, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. See that? So there were saints there. You find Philip the evangelist and his daughters in Caesarea, verses 8 to 9 of that same chapter. It says, on the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea, underline that, to Caesarea, and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. You see that? So there were various churches everywhere. Do you see that so far? Even in Gentile nations. Now these churches were not established by the apostles. Do you follow that? They were not. Okay, they were established by those who believed on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. Okay, no, we're told in Acts chapter 2 that many of them stayed back in Jerusalem and were discipled. Look at Acts 2 verse 42 again. Acts 2:42 says that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That describes discipleship. Amen? That is, they were taught. Then after being taught, they went out to disciple others. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this is how we then had saints in other nations of the world. You see that there were even saints already at Rome and Puteoli. Acts 28 verse 13. It says, from there we circled round and reached Regium, and after one day the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, okay, where we found brethren. Underline that, found brethren. Now those are Christians, you see that? And we're invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome, underline that, toward Rome. And from there, that is Rome, when the brethren heard about us. You see that? So they heard from where? From Rome. Come on. Okay, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we can say that missions in the book of Acts happened majorly as a ripple effect of the day of Pentecost. Okay, so many who were saved on that day were instrumental in the spread of the word of God, in the spread of the gospel. So we see missions, interestingly, through pilgrims in the book of Acts. See that? Through pilgrims. So those who came to Jerusalem encountered the gospel, encountered the disciples, and left with a new message. You see that it was the same thing with that Ethiopian eunuch, right? Acts 8:26-40, we are told about him that he came to Jerusalem to worship, okay, and on his way back, Philip preached to him. Hallelujah. Okay, and we are told about him via history, church history, that he was the first evangelist to Africa. Amen. Okay, so after Philip got him saved, he went back to Africa and spread the gospel everywhere. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we see a lot of centripetal work going on in the book of Acts, people moving towards the gospel. So those who came to Jerusalem, centripetal, encountered the gospel and then took it with them as they went, centrifugal. Do you get it? It happened a lot in the book of Acts. Signs and wonders also played a major role in this centripetal work. I look at Acts 5, for example. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. It says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done, underlined from many to done, among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them. You can say like Ananias and Sapphira did, deceitfully in context. Okay, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers, underline that, believers were increasingly added to the Lord, underline that, increasingly added to the Lord multitudes of both men and women, underline multitudes, men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude, underline that, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, underline from to Jerusalem. Now that's Saint Peter, right? Okay, coming toward the gospel, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Praise the Lord. Okay, so people came from surrounding nations, and as they were healed, they came to know the Lord who heals. Signs and wonders were drawing people's attention not to the apostles but to the gospel. And I've told you that that is the purpose of the miraculous. Praise the Lord. The miraculous is to get men saved. Okay, now so that would be a centripetal. Now, aside that centripetal work, the disciples in Acts were also centrifugal in how they proclaimed the gospel. So what that means is that not only did people come to Jerusalem, now that would be centripetal, but they also went out to preach centrifugal. For example, in Acts chapter 8, we see the centrifugal work of Philip the evangelist. Philip was a deacon in the early church in Acts chapter 6, one who served tables. You may see that Acts 6 verse 2. It says, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Underline that, serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Underline that, over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So those are deacons, right? And 5 says, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, underline that, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set forth before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. You see that? So Philip was a deacon at the church at Jerusalem. Okay, but then, you know, after Saul persecuted the church, in Acts chapter 8, Philip goes to Samaria to preach the gospel. You see that in Acts 8 verse 3. It says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching. On the line from when to preaching? The word. You see that? So they saw persecution as an opportunity to preach in other places. Praise the Lord. Okay, look at 5. Then Philip went down, on the line that went down, centrifugal, right? Okay, to the cities of Samaria, on the line that, to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ to them, on the line, preached Christ, and multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Philip evangelizes at Samaria. You see that there? He goes to Samaria to preach the gospel for the sake of missions. Okay, you also find him again in Acts 8 verse 40, preaching at Azotus and Caesarea. Acts 8:40 says, but Philip was found at Azotus, underline that, at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, underline that, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay, to Caesarea. So that is deliberately going out to preach. Now, Philip is the first person we find in the book of Acts who preached outside of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. The first person. Before Philip, ministry was being done within Jerusalem. Do you follow that? So it's the first person that went out of Jerusalem that we find, okay, to preach the gospel. We also find Saul of Tarsus, who previously persecuted the church, now preach the gospel in Acts chapter 9. Let's see that as we begin to close. Acts 9 verse 20. Acts 9 verse 20. It says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues. On the line from immediately to synagogues. Okay, that is Paul. Follow that. That he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. Online from proving to Christ, okay? you later find this same Saul at Jerusalem preaching again. Verse 28 of that same chapter, it says, "So he, that is Saul, was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out." You see that? Underline that, okay? Coming in and going out, okay? And he spoke boldly. Underline that, he spoke boldly. Can we say preached? Okay? In the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the alienists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. Underline that, sent him out to Tarsus. Hallelujah. Now, Luke doesn't tell us what happened when Paul went down to Tarsus, okay? But later on, we find that churches had been established in Syria and Cilicia. Look at Acts 15, verse 23. Acts 15, verse 23. It says, "They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia." Underline Syria and Cilicia. Greetings. Now, Syria and Cilicia were towns in Tarsus. You follow that? Syria and Cilicia were towns in Tarsus. So this implies that Paul must have preached and discipled there, right? When he was sent there by the brethren. Hallelujah. Okay. We also find that those who fled Jerusalem when Paul persecuted the church were still preaching in the book of Acts. Look at Acts 11 verse 19. Remember Acts 8? After Paul persecuted, remember they ran out of Jerusalem? Okay, so they continued preaching in the book of Acts. Look at Acts 11 verse 19. It says, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen," and that's Acts 8 verse 3, right? "Traveled as far as," underline that, "traveled as far as Centrifugal," right? "Phoenicia, Cyrus, and Antioch, preaching the word." Hallelujah. Preaching the word. You see that? "To no one but the Jews only, but some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the alienists, preaching the Lord Jesus." Underline from "spoke to Jesus," okay? "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." Underline from "are to the Lord." You see that? And you see that for a while, Jewish Christians were not preaching to Gentiles. You see that in verse 19? It says, "preaching the word to no one but the Jews only." Come on. So do you see that ethnocentrism was still there, even in the early church? Now, it's not till Acts chapter 10, amen, that this changed. It took God convincing Peter to change this. In Acts chapter 10, remember that story? Okay, God used Cornelius to show that he had accepted the Gentiles just as much as the Jews. Alright, and Peter later admits this in Acts 10 verse 34 to 35. Let's see that as we close. Acts 10, 34 to 35. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." Come on. Underline that, okay, from "I" to partiality. "But in every nation," underline that, every nation, that is not just Israel. You see that? So he began to get it, okay? "Whoever," underline that, "whoever, whether Jew or Gentile," can we say? Okay? "Fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Praise the Lord. Underline that, okay? Is accepted by him. So the book of Acts shows us how the gospel gradually spread. Amen. And reached even the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 15, you find there that the Jerusalem council was set up to decide how Gentiles fit into the church. And it was decided that Gentiles did not have to convert to Judaism, that is, become Jews, to be saved. Let's see that, Acts 15 verse 23, where there were issues concerning circumcision. Remember that story? Should Gentiles be circumcised to be saved or not? Okay, so a council is set up by the apostles and the elders, okay, concerning that matter. Acts 15 verse 23, it says, "They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia." So those are Gentiles, right? Those are Gentiles. "Greetings, saints. We have heard that some went out from us, have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law." Remember that? Learn that, okay? From "you" to "law." Now look at this. "To whom we gave no such commandment." Come on. See that? Learn that, okay? From "which commandment it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord." Learn that, one accord, that is, we all agree on this. Underline that, okay? One accord to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will therefore send Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by the word of mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden. You see that? Underline that, okay? No greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. See that? So this settled that dispute of whether Gentiles had to convert to Judaism to be Christians. You follow that? It says, we gave no such commandment. Do you follow that? Okay, so the Christian need not circumcise themselves and follow the law of Moses to be a Christian. Then verse 35 of that same chapter, it says, Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. On the line from teaching to Lord, with many others also. See that? Okay, so they stayed there and did missions. Praise the Lord. Okay, then Acts 13:21 records Paul's missionary journeys. Paul's missionary journeys, okay, as he went preaching the gospel to Gentile nations. Now, these missionary journeys are divided into three. Amen. Now, his first missionary journey is recorded in Acts 13:14. Acts 13:14. Okay, he preached at Cyprus, Acts 13:5. You see that there? Acts 13:5. He preached at Asia Minor, Acts 13:14-45. Iconium, Acts 14:1-7. And Lystra, Acts 14:8-28. I come again with that. Cyprus, Acts 13:5. Asia Minor, Acts 13:14-45. Iconium, Acts 14:1-7, Lystra, Acts 14:8-28. Now, his second missionary journey is recorded in Acts 15:36 to Acts 18:22. Acts 15:36 to Acts 18:22. Okay, he preached at Lystra, Acts 16:1-5, where he met Timothy. Phrygia, Galatia, and Macedonia, Acts 16:6-10. Acts 16:6-10. Phrygia spelled P-H-R-Y-G-I-A. Okay, Galatia and Macedonia, Acts 16:8-10. Philippi, Acts 16:11-15. At Philippi, remember, he got that Philippian jailer saved, right? Verses 25-34. You see that there in Acts 16. He and his household were saved in that chapter. Then Thessalonica, Acts 17:1-4. Berea, Acts 17:10-15. Athens, Acts 17:16-34. Corinth, Acts 18:1-17. Then Ephesus and Caesarea, Acts 18:18-23. Then Paul's third missionary journey is recorded for us in Acts 18:23 to Acts 21:14. Acts 18:23 to Acts 21:14. Now there he preached at Ephesus. You see that in Acts 19. Okay, at Ephesus, Acts 19, Macedonia and Greece, Acts 21:6, Troas, Acts 20:7-12. Then he went back again to Asia Minor. You see that in Acts 20:13-28. So do you see that Paul was an evangelist par excellence? Amen. His ministry was highly centrifugal. He was passionate about going out and saving the lost. Praise the Lord. Okay, so in conclusion, we see that the book of Acts records both the centripetal as well as the centrifugal ministry of the early church. And one thing is clear, okay, in that account, evangelism was being carried out regularly. See that? Regularly. Okay, and as a result of that, many more souls were added to the church. Praise the Lord. Okay, so when you read the book of Acts and you see that the Lord kept adding to them, right? The Lord kept adding to them. They kept multiplying. Do you see the secret behind that? Okay, massive evangelism and massive missions was going on in that book. So you find the early church carry out that task, that responsibility as the true jewel of God. Praise the Lord. Okay, on the earth. When they went out to preach the gospel, when they went out for missions, okay, they were carrying out that task that Israel was supposed to carry. You follow that? Okay, so the Spirit of Jesus, the evangelist, now works through his church to get men saved. And we see that throughout the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Did you learn? All right, we'll continue from here. Lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him.